Good morning. It's 10 o'clock. That means it's time for Tom and Shane, Business and Politics. Happy to join you, or happy to have you join us, I should say. It's April Fool's Day. We're not gonna pull any pranks on you today, we promise. So we're just gonna do the normal stuff that we always do. We put up videos that help small business owners, or people who want to start their own businesses, or people who are just thinking about getting into a business. So, but today you may have an unusual product or service. So today we're going to talk about how to market and promote the unusual products out there. So, Shane, everything, you're in Canada. Everything in Canada is unusual.
I was going to say, you know, usually people in Canada claim nothing's unusual here because, you know, there's no outrage about anything. So you have to have unusual things for people to be outraged. We're just, mm-hmm. You know, calm, collective, non-thinkers.
Yeah, that's the case. So, well, what we want to start with is, what is unusual anyway? And whenever I think about this, I think about the Smokey and the Bandit movie with Burt Reynolds and Sally Field, and they're getting to know each other in this movie. And Burt Reynolds is talking about country western singers that Sally Field's never heard of, and she's talking about Broadway shows that Burt Reynolds has never heard of. And Burt says, when you tell someone something, it depends on what part of the United States you're standing in as to how dumb you are. So what that means is that something that's unusual in one part of the world may not be unusual in another, Shane.
That's right. It's really the product or service that determines what is unusual. And it's your perception of it, or the mm-hmm. one that your customer has of it. That's why services and products are so important, because that's what makes your business. But it all fascinates and interests your clients. So you have to create that fascination that your clients should have for your product. Mm-hmm. Not only to use themselves, but to tell other people about it.
Yeah. Well, you hit it right on the head, because it isn't that a product is unusual. It's your perception of that product being unusual. And, you know, when you think back to when we first started cell phones, Xboxes, whatever, you know, name your product, all of those things were unusual at the time. Now they're so commonplace that people are fearful of leaving their home without their you know, without their phone, without anything else. But we want to start with education is often the key. And in this one, you can go back to the hula hoop because we had to, you know, this was a brand new product. We had to introduce it to the public. And not only was it a product that had to be introduced, but you also had to show how to use it. And that was the sticky part. And how do you, you know, it'd be pretty hard to put an ad in the paper or radio or something like that as to how to do this hula hoop. You really had to see it. And then once your kids saw it, of course, they wanted one. So
that's right. You'd probably be all fascinated to know that the Apple phone, it's only been around for a decade, 10 years.
Yeah.
Yet what Apple did, and it, you know, its creator, was to convince the public how unusual it was. Cell phones had been around for 20 years prior to that. Yeah. But they were able to convince people that it was unusual. It had a better mm-hmm. operating system, better camera, the look, the hold. It became the phone to have if you wanted to impress someone. And that's an incredible accomplishment, because they've maintained that for 11 years. People go out and buy a brand new Apple mm-hmm. phone when they don't need to. I mean, I have, you know, the phone from South Korea, right?
And Samsung, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to say it, but I'll advertise. Okay, Samsung.
Yeah.
So Samsung, and like my Samsung I had for like 5 years. Yeah. I wasn't going to replace it. You're not going to convince me I need a new car every year.
Well, I got a new Samsung because I changed providers and they wouldn't support the old phone, so I had to get a new one. So that brings us to our next our next topic, of course, is some assembly required. And I know you have daughters, Shane, and growing up, I'm sure you Christmas Eve you put together dollhouses or you put together bicycles or you put together something, and you hated doing that, and the instructions were about as clear as Chinese algebra.
That's right.
I mean, they were just
it's like that Swedish store you go through and there's only one entrance and one exit.
Yeah.
You know, everything's in a box and it weighs a ton, you know, and everything from beds to computer tables to double decker, but whatever, you got to put the furniture together. I mean, man, I did that one and I thought, no, I'm not going to do that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, no, that's what it is. But the point is, we hate change. We don't like new things. We don't like the social media. You know, I still run into people who say, I'm not getting on Facebook. That's ridiculous. You know, and I think, well, you're probably afraid of it. You're probably afraid you'll get on there and I don't know, Jeff Bezos or somebody will, you know, show up at your front door wanting to know what the heck you're doing, or whatever. They're spying on you or whatever. But
branding is important, and that's why we're talking about it in this case with unusual products, because branding becomes everything when you're whether it's on a social network platform you're selling it or you have brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to ruin your branding with your customers. You want to build it constantly, because it's like a building. You know, it can take 3, 4, 5 years to put a building up, depending how tall it is and big. But it can come down pretty fast.
Yeah.
You look at sports, and then it took them 50 years to build the brand for it. And in what, 2 years, they ruined their own brand. So I always want you to be on your guard and always be particular about what you have to say about your product, because that in itself becomes the reason people will remember it. Because guess what? Unless it's that you sell them an unlimited supply, you want to make sure when they run out, they want to buy it again.
Yeah, they want to come back for more. Yeah. Well, let's talk about how marketing and promotion work for the unusual, because you've got two challenges. One is you've got to introduce the product and convince people that you've got to understand what the product is. You know, if you'd never heard the word internet before, you know, it would probably take 10 minutes to explain what the internet is and how it works and why you should have it. But you also have to promote and advertise and market the benefits. There's got to be a benefit to a product or a service before anyone will buy it. Right, Shane?
That's right. And a great example that I'll use, because I'm old school, is banking. You know, banks have really literally spent, 30 years to sell online banking for people. Why? Well, because it reduces their labor costs. Woe is me, not me. I'm old school. I want paper and pen. I want that monthly statement in the mail. I'm not going to risk someone getting hacked. I've seen too many banks get hacked. I've seen too many stories of, you know, stuff happening on the internet that you just don't want to be a party of. So even though they've tried very hard to brand that and sell it to me as unusual, it's too unusual. So sometimes things can be too unusual for somebody old like me.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you are the poster child.
That's right.
That's for sure. So, well, you know, as we said, putting benefits and products together are what we're talking about here. And we've got to start, of course, with the product and the service, or the service, whichever one you have. And, the challenge is, how do you find the right people? How do you find your target market and all of that as to starting with the product or service? And, depending on where you are and the advertising opportunities you have, this can be difficult. One of the things we suggest is, if you have an unusual product or service, contact your local radio station or TV station. Don't talk to the sales department about buying advertising. Talk to the news department and say, hey, I've got this. You know, when I started my Baby Boomer Helper website that helps seniors and baby boomers find medical care and veterans and all of that, I went down to a local TV station. They put me on and they said, hey, this is a new website. It's helpful and everything. And boom. A lot of people came to look at the website.
That's right.
So try that. All they can do is say no. You haven't lost anything.
Well, that's right. And as we've established in other talks with you, you know, buying products are an emotional experience. It's either because they want something or they need it.
Yep.
So you have to cover both those bounds. And as Tom says, besides taking advantage of opportunities like that, you have to constantly develop the product benefits, constantly remind people why they need it. And you'll see when you watch ads after today and listening to us, that the difference in those type of commercials, commercials that are trying to provide you with the this is what you want as opposed to this is what you need. And there are two types of commercials altogether, especially for very rare types of products, because there's some that are very interesting. Some that are just everyday use.
Yeah. Well, you see the, you know, there are several products that didn't work, you know, over the years. New Coke didn't work very well. that was kind of a fiasco. You don't have DeSoto or Plymouth or Oldsmobile or some of those anymore. You know, just because of changing attitudes and whatever. But the next thing we want to cover is that you have three kinds of customers. You have the first kind of customer who will always buy something new. They're the people that are lined up around the block waiting for the new Apple phone to come in. And the second type of customer is the one that says, well, I'm going to wait, and then I will wait for them to perfect it. You know, then I'll get one. And then the third type is kind of in the middle where they say, well, you know, I'll take a look at it and maybe make a decision. Maybe I'll buy it. Maybe I won't. So that middle group is the group we want to talk to, Shane, in our advertising and marketing.
And it's the broadest group of demographics because it covers all of them. Yeah. You have young and old, you have middle aged, but yeah, the middle span has a full demographic. Where on, you know, the other sides of this, one side may have an older demographic, which it does usually, and the other side has a younger demographic or just a middle-aged demographic. So this is why you have these conversations with people that have gone through this and have experienced it. So you don't make that mistake. Go for the middle. Go for the wider demographic where you reach more people and it's more applicable to the product you're selling.
That's for sure. Yeah. Yeah. You want to reach the broadest number of people that are your target market. And we're going to talk about target market in just a moment. But before we do that, we need to talk about your message. And if you're giving the wrong message to the wrong people, obviously, then you're going to have a problem situation. And also, which market are you really trying to attract? For example, your child is probably the end user of Kool-Aid or the hula hoop, but the parents are the buyers. So the parents in that case are the secondary market. The primary market that you want to go after are the kids. And this is, go down any cereal aisle and you will see it's kids, kids in the cereal aisle. They got cartoon characters on the boxes. They don't have how healthy, you know, Captain Chunk is or Captain Chocolate or whatever the hell he is. They just have all this stuff to attract kids and say, Mom, I want that cereal. I want that cereal.
Thomas is brilliant in his analogy because you talk to people in food and they'll tell you the 3-foot shelf in a store for a new product is absolutely necessary. If a child sees it and starts asking mommy for it and it's not there because they've seen it on TV, then mommy asks the manager, do you have the product? Oh, and then the manager gets 12 women that have asked him in one day and he says, better order that, put it on aisle 5. You know, that's the way it's worked. It's worked well for 50 years, and it's been extremely successful.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Well, your target market, finding the right target market is also key to this, because as we mentioned earlier, there may be, you know, as I say, the wife may do the shopping, but the man at home is the beer drinker. So there you are. And so we've got to find the right people to target on this. Women, in many cases, are the right market because they do a lot of the day-to-day money spending decisions. So don't discount women as being not your target market based on whatever your product or service is, because that's going to come into the home. And if the woman doesn't want that in the home, well, guess what? Your home life is not going to be happy for very long if you bring something in that they don't want.
That's correct. And you know, just to give you another analogy, because analogy, I'd give you another analogy is chick flicks. We all know what a chick flick is. It's a film for women. You know, the girlfriends sit down and have popcorn and lemonade, not a beer like the boys for sports. But in this case, you know, it's the analogy here is that finding a target market, you can look at the ads. If you're watching an ad and it's a more of a feminine tilt to it, you know, it's clearly directed at females, at women. Mothers, daughters, sisters, aunts, and that's who they're trying to reach. So that's why men sort of tend to turn off ads, not in their mind when they're watching them, because right off the bat, oh, it's a chick ad. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly right. So there's a reason it's a chick ad.
That's right.
There's a definite reason that it's a chick ad there. So, all right. Well, to sum up, obviously, what we've talked about today is that you have to expose the product in such a way that it has plenty of benefits tied to it. That someone needs this. You know, it might be safety, it might be health, it might be fun, it might be educational, it might be you know, money saving, whatever it is. You've got to combine those two things together. You've got to be able to show the product, and you've also got to be able to show that there are many benefits of the benefits of not owning it are lower than the benefits of owning it.
That's right. So. And again, that's an aggressive attitude about how you brand. Another aspect of all this is gifting.
Yes.
If your advertising implores or implies gifting, then both men and women can buy it. If it's not necessarily for them, but the benefit is so significant, or the success that seems so significant, it looks like that could be the gift I'm looking for.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is that the hula hoop, they gave away thousands of hula hoops to make millions of dollars.
That's right.
You know, so getting it out, getting your product out, depending on, you know, it may be at a price you can't give it away, or it may be a service that you, you know, are reluctant to do for free. But, you know, consider that aspect, that there are plenty of ways that you can get, you know, get your product and your name out there. But you've got to tie the product and the benefits together. The use of the product is a benefit to the user. End user.
One final piece of advice, and this is just advice as a consumer. Don't give something free away and ask for a credit card to do it or
yeah.
credit card number. I think that's the biggest failure that I've seen in marketing in the last 30 years. It's been going on now for 15, 20 years. Oh, we're giving away 1,000 bottles today, or, you know, you get a month free, and, you know, you call up, you go through this whole registration. They ask you everything, including your underwear size. And then they ask you for your credit card and your credit card number.
Yeah.
But you get a free trial for a month, or you get a free bottle. No, don't do that.
Yeah.
Get all the information, give away the product, like you said.
Sure.
And you know what? If the product's good, if it's beneficial, like we've discussed today, if it's something that people find they need, they will go back and they will then give you their credit card number.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. If you build a better mousetrap, people will beat a path to your door, but they've got to know where the door is.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, the doorway in and the doorway out.
That's right, man. You gotta find your way in and gotta find your way out. All right, that's gonna wrap it up for us. Hey, don't forget, we are on radio on Saturday. Tom and Shane, Business and Politics. We'll talk about how business and politics gel or don't gel, and we got a lot to talk about on Saturday, of course. So you can listen live anywhere in the world, KMMSAM.com. You don't need a credit card. You don't need to leave any personal information of any kind. All you do is go over there and listen live, and you can call us, you can text us, and we'll talk to you just like normal human beings. And if you missed any of our past shows or any of our past videos, you can watch or listen to them at KMMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and we will be happy to take your comments and everything over there. So that's going to wrap it up for us today, of course. So we will see you next Tuesday with a video, and we will talk to you on Saturday. So
indeed, together
as always. Bye for now.